B-Pod Studios.
The Pied Piper for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look, this isn't to disparage what Jameis Winston did there, but Brady is drawing all kinds of attention from his teammates for the energy that he is bringing, not only in these workouts that he has organized, but also I was told he is lighting up the Zoom meetings. Intelligent questions, personality, engaging with teammates. This is exactly what they need. I was also told by another player, look, he's not waiting. He is aggressive. He is going to be, he is becoming our leader. It's happening right now, even though we are not together on a regular basis as a team in person. He has been able to do that, and that is quite impressive. This is something I think all the Buccaneers are looking forward to when they finally get together.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. That right there was the voice, the smooth, sultry voice of one Mike Giardi, the NFL Network, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Expert Hotline. Mike, I do not like the tone of Twitter voice that John Wallach directed towards you yesterday.
It wasn't him. It was at Edelman more than him.
No. I think it was towards Mike, and I don't appreciate it.
Not at all.
Here's Mike Giardi just trying to do his job, you know, giving us some scoops.
Yeah, but that's been our relationship over the years anyway. So.
Well, I mean,
we're fine.
Sounds one way. Mike Giardi seems like an upstanding. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Well, I mean, here's Mike. So he tweets this. He goes, "Ask one Patriot about Julian Edelman's mindset this season. JE11's been a regular at throwing sessions. Quote, Julian is Julian. He hates excuses. He hates to lose. He's already got the red ass about this season. People think we're no good and that he's just a product of Brady." And Wallach fires back, goes, "Yeah, as soon as he stops yelling, 'Hey, Tom, I'm open' shirts on his website, I think some of that might die down." Mike, I don't appreciate that tone, Mr. Giardi. I don't know about you.
I didn't appreciate it. And then I'll tell you what, you know, I had the chirping fire alarm at like 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm groggy and maybe a little bit bitter this morning, too. So maybe Wallach and I should just throw down.
I've got no problem with that. He shaved his mustache, so he's not intimidating.
No, I'm going to lose to the hunk. There's no two ways about that.
All right. How much do you buy into that? That like Julian is. Like, well, first of all, how much is he working out? Because we're hearing, as you said right there, that, you know, Brady's the Pied Piper. He's doing everything he can to get these guys going. I don't know if it's just a shock to the system. I don't know if Winston did stuff like this. But, I mean, apparently he's the man. Everyone loves what Tom Brady's doing, and he's not messing around. How do you compare what Brady's doing down there to what Jared Stidham is doing with his crew up here in Foxborough?
I think it's basically the same thing, you know, and I think that's actually – The you know, we're getting reports from different places. You're hearing Philip Rivers now is getting guys together in Indianapolis to work out, and Sam Darnold doing the same in Florida. But I think this has sort of become part of the NFL's off-season culture anyway. Before the pandemic, you know, the last whatever 7-8 years, more and more quarterbacks are doing this. You know, it's sort of not only to get on the same page with their receivers, but I think it's also just about sort of forming those bonds that, you know, you want to have when you're going through a long season. It's just in the pandemic, we weren't sure that necessarily was going to happen because of the request for social distancing. But as you're seeing, we're throwing caution to the wind with that.
How would you characterize Stidham's leadership at this point?
Well, it's funny because when I talked to guys within the building, you know, way back in the late summer and spring, fall rather, of last year, that was one of the things that they pointed to, like this sort of a natural leader. And again, this is before anybody knew that Tom Brady wasn't coming back and all that. So you tend to, when you kind of dig deep, you tend to kind of get more real answers, I think, early on. Now you're getting sort of the post-Brady, there's a little bit of a spin or attempted spin to kind of keep the spirits up and make everybody believe that this is the right guy. But I think this is something we heard again way back in August and September, and just sort of seems to naturally fit into that role and someone the players look to and say, this guy's got his stuff together.
Is this a select crew that he's with? I know that, you know, when Brady sometimes would do his deal in Montana or you go out to California, it would just be a handful of guys. Is this basically the offense that he's with, or is it just one or two guys?
No, it's been multiple guys. It's been Edelman. It's been Olszewski. It's been Demir Bird, who's one of the new players. I haven't heard about N'Keal Harry being there. N'Keal's been in Houston. He's been training in Houston. But I know other players have been there as well. You know, I think it's sort of who's around and who's available at that time. But, you know, I think it's there's no question it's a good thing regardless.
Okay, so the coaches were allowed back this week, but they kind of said F it, right? We're going to wait till training camp. Is that the attitude that they've got with this?
Yeah, I think you've seen it. You know, I mean, obviously there have been plenty of coaches that have gone back into their buildings now, but you've also seen plenty sort of take this tack where it's like, well, we set up this learning. I've got everything I need where I'm at. You know, Bill's got what he needed in Nantucket. He had the IT department in there. They did what they had to do. And now it's like, well, do we really want to take all this stuff, bring it back for a week and a half, and then again, retreat back to you know, Nantucket where he's been? Made no sense. And I think a lot of coaches sort of looked at it that way, that if the players weren't going to be in the building, there really was no need for them to be in the building either.
Mike, shut up, Wallach. I'm asking a question.
Oh, sorry, Fred.
I know you're friends with Giardi.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Jesus, I wasn't up. My thing dropped. Dan,
your tie line was disconnected.
Oh, okay.
It was disconnected.
That's on me then, Fred. I'm sorry.
Well, if you knew what was going on in this house, you would have a little bit more. Rich knows. You'd have a little bit more sympathy.
Sure.
But... why did Stidham suck in college, Mike Giardi?
I don't think he sucked in college when he was a junior. It was the senior year that things sort of went sideways for him. And he when we talked to him when he was first drafted, he just said, "Look, I tried to do too much." But when you dig a little deeper and you talk to you know, scouts, other GMs, people around the league, you get the sense that the offense that Gus Malzahn runs in Auburn was basically the same offense that Cam Newton ran. And there's a slight difference in athletic ability and really overall. I mean, Cam is 250, 260 pounds. You know, it's a totally
runs
different
a four
beast.
Or five, right? Yeah.
It wasn't a perfect fit.
Okay, so Manish Mehta, who is a man that everyone respects. He has said that
the worst kept secret.
The worst kept secret in the NFL is that Bill Belichick wants a man by the name of Sammy D, the next Joe Namath. But would you, Mike Giardi, call it crazy to say that Sam Darnold is the best quarterback in the AFC East?
I would not call that crazy, although I would actually tell you that right now, in this very moment, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is insane. But
I know that's fair.
I know that is. My God,
what starting quarterbacks are younger than him? How many? Than Donald?
All of them. Oh, and Donald. He's still young.
Two.
I think Joe Burrow. Right.
Joe Burrow is his age. So he just turned 22. So if you, so Tua and I can't remember who else. I don't think Burrow's young. Who?
Josh Allen?
No, Allen's older than him. But like, I saw, you know, I look at the World Wide Web when I'm out, and I saw that there was this, that it was a laughing stock. That someone would say Sam Darnold is the best quarterback in the AFC East. And today I would say, absolutely.
I don't think anybody thinks that it's a laughing.
No. Did you hear Greeny? He walked off set.
Well, it's good to stand for something.
Yeah. Wait, he did something controversial? Wow.
No, I mean, he walked in a circle and went right back to his
chair. Oh, okay.
But, no, they were saying Josh Allen and Tua and this and that. But that's not a ridiculous take, correct? That's not the
one. No, it's definitely not a ridiculous take, because I think there's a lot of people that have major questions about Josh Allen and his ability to be a consistent passer. I think you kind of seen that Sam can be a consistent passer. It just what I worry about for Darnold is, I don't know that Adam Gase is the right coach. I don't know that they have the right leadership there. And, you know, they went out and they worked on their offensive line this year in the offseason, which is really smart, but they didn't really give him anyone to throw to. Robbie Anderson's his best receiver. Robbie Anderson is gone. So, you know, it's kind of hard to – what was it that model said? You can't throw it and catch it?
Yes, that's right.
To that
throw it and catch the ball.
She was which endeared her to the team, I'm sure.
All right. So speaking of quarterbacks, this is something that, I mean, I've seen in more than one place. And I'll give, you know, Chad Finn credit from the Globe. He threw this out there. Now with everything going on and, of course, everyone, you know, Drew Brees and the commissioner and everything being everyone talking about Black Lives Matter, there's a new discussion that's come up about Colin Kaepernick. And I think I know I believe and I think that the evidence is overwhelming that the teams did make a decision behind the scenes that they were not going to hire. I mean, he won a lawsuit. So that they were not going to put him on their team. And the bad quarterbacks that had jobs when he didn't is just, it's all you need to know. But he's been out of the league for 3 years now. And I don't know many players that can leave the league for 3 years and be effective when they come back. But there's a movement to get him back almost as a goodwill type of offering.
And that's pathetic.
Well, I will say this. What Chad Finn wrote is something that I've heard some other people even say. And that is, it should be the Patriots that do it. What is your opinion on not only him coming back into the NFL, but the Patriots being the team that bring him back?
Yeah, I mean, first things first, he got hosed, clearly. And the you can look at the first year out and maybe even the second year out and say, there's no way in this world that he did not belong in the league, whether it's as a low-end starter or, you know, as a backup somewhere. Clearly, he was talented enough to be that guy. Now, you know, there are some people who argue, look, just too much distraction to be brought into the room. But now you're talking about 3 years later, you haven't seen him play. You don't know how he's aged. And look, I know they did that workout last year, but that workout wasn't anything different than what any – pick a kid in college, you know, I go to Division III school and some kid can throw the ball around like that in a controlled setting. It's that's not going to make you say, oh my God, I have to have him.
Mike,
and I think that's the problem. You just don't know.
Yeah. Right. Let me ask you this and I know it's a tough question off the top of your head, but what team, you know, would he start for?
It's not even a starting.
Well, if you bring in a quarterback like Kaepernick, just, is there a team that he could start for?
The Patriots.
You could look at the Chargers, maybe. You know, they have Tyrod Taylor. They drafted Justin Herbert, who probably won't be ready. That's a team that Cam Newton has been attached to quite a bit during the offseason. Like, oh, well, if he really just wants to start, then maybe that's the place to go. but then it's, there's...
Redskins, maybe?
Maybe.
Redskins.
You want to talk about a team to sign him to that would get some news?
Oh, that would be
like you would bring Colin Kaepernick onto the Redskins, a team that obviously has a little bit of their own issues going on.
Sure.
Yeah, their stupid owner would make it that
Fred
put braces on him so he couldn't kneel.
Yeah, Fred, I'm surprised you didn't say Cleveland.
He's not well. They used a number one overall pick. I mean, he sucks, but I mean, they used an overall
worst quarterback pick in that division, Fred.
There you go.
Yep, there's no question. He's the worst one of them.
Jacksonville, maybe Gardner Minshew. You know, is he the answer? I don't know.
Just do you see it? Because I mean, this is something that has caught a lot of fire. Do you see any team signing him, even if it's to like a backup role? Because as I said, the only reason I'm asking you is because this is a real conversation that's out there, and you and I believe that he did get hosed, but you're right, 3 years out, who knows how good he is. But could you see a team possibly signing him?
I could see conversations about it, but I also would say, what's Kaepernick's motivation to do it now? You guys, you know, he believes he has financial settlement that says, you did blackball me. I've been out of the league for 3 years, and do I want to come back in and be competing for a second string job?
Right.
You know, or is he holding true to what he did that first year? And some would argue he said the same thing his second year about, like, no, I believe I'm a starter in this league. I want the opportunity to compete for that job. So, I, you know, again, it's And then never mind, we've been in a situation here where no one's allowed to go into buildings, and you're teaching, you know, you're trying to teach an offense virtually. It's there's so many hurdles to overcome.
How tough is all this right now for Robert Kraft? Because as I was saying earlier, his track record speaks for itself. He's given money to, I mean, a ton of money to, you know, social justice. You know, he teamed up with Jay-Z.
He's done,
I mean, like, he's done a ton for this. And I know that obviously the players love him all around, whatever race you are. But he's friends with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is someone who has no problem calling out people and making them an enemy if they don't do what he wants them to do. And right now it's about the flag. Once again, I can't believe we're back here again, but we are. So
I think that's an unfair characterization of him, by the way.
Of who? Robert Kraft? Oh, yeah. He's off at the front. So, like, how tough is this right now for Robert Kraft, knowing that this is what he wants to do, but he knows that he is going to be on the other side of an extremely powerful hate campaign?
Can't get out of the way of this one.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think John said it right. I don't think you can. Obviously, they have the I'm losing the word here. The donations that they're making, the $1 million in donations, and they're meeting with these various organizations, and the players are involved with helping to pick these organizations. So that's again sort of strengthening the bond between owner and players, but. With regards to Trump, I think there are going to be people watching. I mean, I look, anytime I've tweeted anything about the Patriots and some of the stuff they're doing, it's, and I know social media is not the is not the whole world speaking, but it's, you know, what about back in Trump? You know, and that's a question that people are going to ask. And I think that's going to get all 32 owners and I'm assuming the majority of them did vote for Donald Trump. I think they're all going to sort of get that that pushback. You know, are you donating to his campaign again? I don't know that we'll get the answers because most people will tell you that's a private thing. But obviously, people can find out what money's been donated to campaigns, and I'm sure people will dig into that to find out. You know, are NFL owners giving to Trump's reelection campaign?
All right, well, Mike Giardi works for the NFL Network. He's gone national. He has taken Burlington.
Thank you,
I mean, I don't think I've been a small part of it. I mean, I think that it was at least a – I mean, they called me for a reference. But
I knew it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they go, who's the honk? And I said, that's Giardi, baby. So we appreciate the
My
time.
Man.
That's right. I'm here for you, baby. All right.
And Wallach, Mike. Wallach, you suck. See you.
All right. Take it easy.
Good to talk to you, Mike.
We'll be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Reed.
What's up with Toucher and Rich? And you know what I did in Tennessee?
What's that?
Because I'm, trying to break old habits.
Mm-hmm.
Bought myself some cigars.
Oh, man.
And you know what I did?
What?
Smoked all of them.
I had 3 puffs of one and said, this sucks.
Oh!
Yeah. I was not a fan of the cigars.
There was a period where I tried the cigar thing, too. And I, about, man, 6 or 7 years ago, went out with some of my friends. And they, like, busted out cigars. And I was like, all right. So I grabbed a cigar. And something happened. Like, I couldn't. My throat was effed up for like 2 days. Like, I lost my voice.
You inhale them?
Dude, I don't know how to smoke a cigar. It's like, well, you don't know how to smoke it right. I'm like, how would I know how to smoke a cigar right? I don't smoke cigars.
I inhaled it. I've smoked since I was 15 years old. I mean, until 2014. But
I don't know how to cut it. I don't know how to light it, and I don't know how to smoke it. I mean, because I don't smoke cigars.
Okay, so since the pandemic, the guy that I hang out with the most, who's probably listening right now, is a great guy, but he's 70. So, daddy's got a crew. So but he has he's a really great guy, and I like him a lot. And
sure.
But he belongs to the country club I belong to, where no one else will play golf with me but him. And they're always smoking cigars. So I was like, all right, you know, like I'm trying to make some lifestyle changes, and you know, it's not easy, but like, you know, better than not. I think I've made a little bit of progress, but the so the idea was, I was, remember how I told you about chewing tobacco?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I might have to get back to that idea. No, don't. Cigars.
No, no. Don't you smoke? So, there's somewhere in the middle.
Is there a third option?
Oh, I was smoking cigarettes yesterday. Okay. But the idea is that you know, you replace a worse vice with a better vice. And so, dude, don't judge me. I'm going through some stuff.
No, I'm not, but it just doesn't sound like something you enjoy.
Rich knows. So so I'm trying to hang on. I'm hanging on by my fingernails. But I went on this website that sells a lot of cigars. Like, it's a nice website based in Miami. And I'd asked the dude that is my neighbor, and I asked him, I said, what do you smoke? And he said, Romeo e Juliet, whatever. So I said, okay, I'll get a cutter, a lighter, and these cigars. $225 this whole thing cost me.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. So I bring them home, and I don't want them. So I'm very proud of myself. And I go over to the guy's house yesterday, and they are smoking the exact same cigar that it was not above their income stream. I thought I was walking in like with a bottle of, like, you know, 1890 Burgundy or something.
You're going to blow them away.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, look at this. So the one I smoked in Tennessee, it comes in this, like a tube. So I go and I get it, and it's in a tube, and I go to unscrew the top, and the whole thing shatters in my hand because it's glass.
Oh, yeah.
And I was assuming that you would use plastic, but egg on my face, there was none of that. So I can't even smoke cigars, right? And I'm like, oh, I'll smoke them on the golf course, and no. I can't do that. It just... I'm not cool enough, man. I don't really know how to age into things.
Well, there was one time where, for like just a little bit, I had a job in Dallas, and some restaurants in Dallas rule, because many of them have secret rooms, especially the steakhouses. So I had just gotten my job.
The Cheetah.
But that's like, you know, but that's like where you pay extra to go.
No. Oh. Okay, the Cheetah was this strip club in Atlanta, and here's how lame this was. So they had a VIP room, and from the VIP room, there was a secret, like you pushed on something and it made a door open.
Ah.
And it was white on white, and it was my friend and I and a bartender. And I'm like, well, thank God I'm at the Cheetah. I like that there's no naked chicks. This is like the most fun I've ever had at a strip club. All right, so these places would have secret rooms.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I had just gotten, you know, my job there, and I have like no money. I've got nothing in my bank account. And one of my friends comes in from out of town. It's like my third week in Dallas. And he comes and visits. And so we go, you know, let's celebrate. Let's have a nice night out. So his wife and my wife and us, we go to the steak restaurant. And, you know, I was told there was a secret room in the back. So my friend and I kind of went, and we found that, like, it's behind almost where one of the bars is. And it's got this curtain. They don't say anything about it. And we walk into this room, and it's just awesome. It's like something out of a movie. There's this – when you go through there, there's this old man playing a piano, and he looks up at you and nods. He's in a tux. And I was like,
and
oh,
he pulls
yeah.
your zipper down.
Whoa. And he like does this. And then all of the furniture, it's like this super plush,
like
nice.
Leather,
like
right.
Oh, yeah. Everything. Like everything's lit from the bottom. It's like something almost like out of like a Kubrick movie almost. It's kind of creepy but awesome and oaky. And so we walk in, and there's no one in there except these two really attractive women wearing these kind of nice cocktail dresses. And it looks almost something from like the golden age of Hollywood or something.
Or the golden age of prostitution.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it almost looks like that type of look. So we sit down in these chairs, and it's just the old guy, two old dudes in cowboy hats, and then me and my friend, and we sit down, and this woman comes up to him. She goes, "Hi, can I get you something from the humidor?" And she points, and there's these boxes of cigars. And I'm like, you know, I really don't really know which one would be good. And she goes, "Well, why don't you try this?" But then she names it. I was like, okay, sure, fine. So we're like, how great is this dude? She brings over the cigars. She cuts them for us. She lights it as I awkwardly try to get a flame going, which takes me a gratuitously long amount of time because I don't know how to turn it. You're and the bottom alone. Of it catches on fire. She has to tell me to turn it. So we're sitting there, and we're just sitting back smoking and thinking, how great is this, man? It just doesn't get any better than this. And then after about 15 minutes, she brings the bill by, and we've got two mixed drinks and two cigars, $340.
Jeez. Yep.
God. I had no idea that a cigar could cost $150.
Oh, so I was watching. Did you ever see Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Yeah.
I'm actually a big fan of it, depending on who he has on. So he has Steve Harvey on, and they're in Chicago. So they go to this like restaurant, or no, I'm sorry, they go to this like cigar place, like where you know, not like a bar or anything, and they're smoking cigars. So I say, "That's me. I'll do that." And I go outside with my dad, who doesn't smoke anymore, and he smoked for decades. And I'm sitting there smoking with him, and my daughter starts sobbing. Because she thinks I'm going to die that evening from cigars. And my father has to explain to her that I'm not going to die. And this is the lesser of all evils. And did not go over well. So I cannot smoke anything in front of my children. That is the new rule.
We got to get you a good vice then. One that you enjoy. But one that will replace it and you'll feel full. You know what I mean?
Like angel dust?
Listen, meth is always, I mean, you could always try that. You know, listen, maybe get some people on the case. I mean, sunflower seeds is not a vice. That's something that people do.
No, you know, I like sunflower seeds, yeah.
Okay, but that's not really a vice.
It helped me when I was trying to stop smoking, yeah.
Okay.
When I did, ultimately did stop smoking. I stopped for 6 years until yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, because I ate like absolute crap over when I was gone.
And can I say this? And I'm not BSing you, and I'm not mocking, or I'm saying this with all sincerity. You just posted a picture on Instagram. You look really good. Like you're not joking. You've lost a lot of weight, haven't you?
30, right?
Yeah, 30.
Dude, it looks good. Except, however, I'm not quite sure what the plan was with the shaved V in your chest hair.
It's not. It's gray hair.
Oh, okay. Because it looks like you basically took the Superman logo into your skin.
That's exactly what I thought. Nick brought it in, and I'm like, wow. All right.
It's
what a statement
hair.
That is.
Oh, okay. I thought you waxed your chest, but only did it in like a V, as if you were wearing like a skin Superman
like a superhero.
Suit.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's just old man gray hair.
Okay.
Just gross. I don't even know why I took the stupid picture.
That's not gray hair, really?
I swear to God. I'll take. I guess when I zoom in, yeah. Send it to you.
Okay, no. I'm gonna get it. You're right. When you zoom in, you can tell that it fades out, but it just looks like when it's zoomed like regular, it does look like there's a very obvious line almost.
Yeah,
like
it's not. I swear to God, it's gray hair.
Okay.
And wow, that does look like.
It looks like you have a V.
Yeah. But that's all just gray hair. And I swear on my children's lives, I did not shave my chest.
Because I've been tempted. Like, I've had hair coming out of the top of my shirt. I don't have a very hairy chest, but I've got a tuft that's right there and sticking out of the top. And there's been times where I've, like, tried to shave it off and then said, I'm just going to keep going and just become slippery like a seal. And then I chicken out. But, I mean, there's been times where I've thought about just waxing the whole
entire thing. Well, I used to, in high school, nair.
Ooh.
And there is nothing like ingrown hairs after a nice nair session. You just go like, give me every pimple known to man.
Oh. Sounds like a nightmare.
It doesn't hurt, but you narrow it up. All right, Rich, we have thank you for applauding my I might need to use that now on Tinder. Hey, so what do we have coming up in this deck?
Well, well, I don't really know how to transition, but I'll try. So one of your childhood cartoons just completely got changed. Dude, just look at it. Let's go to headlines. I don't
All
know.
Right. Very good. All right. We'll be right back.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. John, who brings us the wonderful stack?
Glad you asked that, Fred. It is sponsored by my guys at Window Nation. It is Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
Now, the mystery has been solved. We all know that back when, oh, those innocent days when everyone thought that Tom Brady was indeed going to return to the Patriots, they went to that basketball game that was televised, and you had sitting next to Mr. Tom Brady, of course, Julian Edelman, because he's always next to Tom Brady. And then to Edelman's left, you had Jimmy Fallon. They were all laughing together and joking around. And if you remember, the camera went up to...
Wait. Before you go any further.
Yeah.
You found video of Jimmy Fallon laughing?
I mean, it's one of those things that I know it's tough to believe, Fred, but I'll forward it to you. It did happen. Fallon was laughing. And
so he broke during a scene?
That's he did break.
Very, very rare.
I mean, he was like, he was known as being like Phil Hartman, you know? I mean, he always kept a straight face. He was just a brick.
Yeah, he was, yeah, that's right. He carried sketches. He was the guy that kept, he was the glue, is what they called him.
By the way, speakers randomly, I'm so sidetracking here. My kids have been watching Holy Moly, which, by the way, I find entertaining, too, because they just went so over the... It's Wipeout. They just take a bunch of people with golf clubs and smack the crap out of them. Right. Just randomly, they threw in there. There was a hole that was a pirate-based hole. And they just said, all right, in this hole, you were to hit it to this patch, and which will be waiting for you. It's Long John Lovitz. And it's John Lovitz standing there in a pirate. He goes, yo, ho, ho. And that's it. Like, John, you hit it to John Lovitz, and he hits it to the next hole. And that's all they mentioned of John Lovitz.
Yeah, they gave him toilet paper.
That's about right, actually. That's perfect, right?
And it made me laugh. The fact that it was just like, it's Long John Lovitz.
Lovitz was a star on Saturday Night Live. Now, be it was some of the worst seasons. I mean, he was on the Randy Quaid season. That was...
Oh, he was on the Mike Myers, Dana Carvey season.
No. But his first season was the worst season of SNL history, besides from 1980.
Sure.
Well, just Google YouTube Norm MacDonald making fun of John Lovitz. And it's just like, yeah, you know, he's doing stand-up at 60. Like, he's just trying it out. He's doing a really good job.
He's in the TNR Bad Guest Hall of Fame. Man. One of the worst we've ever had on the show.
And if you look back... Yeah, go ahead.
He was ranting about politics the whole time. We're like, what is this? John Lovitz, what are you doing?
It was so boring. I don't recall anything that he was doing. But, I mean, if I want a political opinion, I want it from a really fifth-rate jackass who started doing comedy at 60. Can you imagine going and doing stand-up at 60 as a big name? I guess he owns his own club, too. So good luck walking in there. All right, so Lovitz is on there, and, you know, he's trying to grow his brand because... The kids are all really into Lovitz.
It made me laugh. It's the one thing Lovitz has done in, like, decades that made me laugh. And it was more the producers of the show. They said, what if we just randomly had John Lovitz standing there? Yo, ho, ho.
Okay.
And that was
it. He was on a Seinfeld in, like, 92 where he pretended that he had cancer so he could get a toupee.
No.
And that is the funniest thing he's ever done.
I don't want to watch that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Every once in a while, Lovitz can be randomly out of nowhere funny.
No, he's good.
I know you
it.
don't. Yeah, okay, I bet. I bet. I know you don't like the movie, but his character in Little Nicky was awesome. He was the peeping Tom.
Is that the one where the dude loves feet?
Yeah, no. That's Mr. Deeds. No, yeah. In Little Nicky, he's a peeping Tom, and his punishment is that there's a bird that always wants to hump him, and you just all of a sudden see him peeking around the corner going,
the idea that you could watch Sandler do that voice for an hour and a half is fascinating.
Sandler wasn't the funny part. In fairness, Sandler was not the funny part in that movie. Well,
it was the star to not be funny.
You want the star to be not only not be funny, John, but to be almost impossible to look at.
Yeah, I couldn't stand that movie.
I loved Mr. Deeds. Sandler was not the funny part in Mr. Deeds. It was every side character. It was Crazy Eyes McGee from what's his
Steve
name?
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi was great.
You have convinced me on the one where he's the father to the kid from.
Oh, that's my boy. Oh, great movie.
Very good movie. And you've got the funniest scene is when he has to go between windows in a high rise and he still has a beer in his hand.
There's not
a scene where he doesn't have a beer. And then he wakes up and like grabs a beer from like the drawer next to him.
Yes, we had this discussion yesterday that Happy Madison like will be one of – they'll produce 10 garbage films, like grown-ups and like for throwaway ones where he just goes on the vacations. And then randomly they'll come with a Grandma's Boy and be like, oh my God, this is great.
Well, the Spade movie's funny.
I heard it is. Yeah, the new Missy or something like that.
Yeah. Because it has I can't remember her name, but she's actually Laura Lapkin, okay. And she's outstanding in it. But your friend of
Nick Swartzen, who I love.
Oh, well.
Nick Swartzen, and That's My Boy, was awesome. He was the guy always hiding in the women's lockers.
Get ready to look at him. Because it ain't a pretty scene.
Okay. Right.
Alcohol has made the man... a little puffy.
Okay, well, all I know is that he was in Grandma's Boy, so there's not much you can do wrong if you've starred in that film. All right, so where were we? Oh, yeah, Mike Vrabel.
By the way, hang on one second. You know the guy who's cross-eyed in, like, Happy Gilmore?
Oh, yeah. The one with a big, deep voice like that, yeah.
He's really cross-eyed.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, you live and learn.
There you go. So, Jimmy Fallon. We go, Lovitz, Fallon. Fallon was sitting next to Tom Brady. And remember when they were at the game, they started FaceTiming with Mike Vrabel. And everyone thought that that was because Mike Vrabel wanted to get him to go to the Titans. Well, Vrabel sat down with the NBC Sports Boston camera guys. Very funny guys. They have their own Twitter account. It's actually worth following. And they interviewed Mike Vrabel. And here's what he had to say about the explanation behind that story.
Well, I was at the Combine. And we got the CBS on the TV. I look up there and they're showing Tom and Julian. So I text them real quick. I said, hey, did you guys get highlights for the basketball game? Because it looked like their hair was like blonde. So then, of course, they are mad. And so they want to like yell at me because I texted them something funny. And so they FaceTime me and we're sitting there laughing and talking.
Can you stop?
That's how it all went down.
They were watching Laugh At in the background. Apparently.
I was going to say, is that the dating game? What the hell is he on? Like, right, what show is that?
Is that the
Card Sharks?
That was the Tennessee Titans website, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rich is right. That's Card Sharks.
Yeah, I know. He's right.
Like that's a 70s. Why do Rich? I'll never understand it. Why do they feel the need to put music in the back of a conversation?
Oh, that's your luck.
We use that one. That's your luck.
Yeah.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Is it Tic Tac Toe?
No. Dude, Tic Tac Toe is the king of all of them. That was Carter. Tic Tac Toe slams. Like, this
oh,
is.
Oh, all right.
Like, that's a. This is a. Might be my favorite game show theme song.
If you love Pencil Mice, you're a fan of that.
Here's the test. Do you have the pyramid?
Ooh.
Do you have the $25,000 pyramid?
I got...
Which, by the way, is so... like... Yeah, that's... It. No, that's...
No, that's Tattletale?
No. That's Price is Right.
No. That might be when they're showing something in a Showcase Showdown or something.
Yeah. By the way, could you ever imagine the excitement of winning $25,000?
Well, back in 1972 when they were actually doing the show.
And so you get 12 and then, you know, have fun. You got to fly back.
All right. You ever like seen where someone does? But now we're talking. Dan,
match game.
That's the pyramid. Is that match game?
No,
pyramid?
This is match game.
Match game. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, match game.
All right. So, have you ever seen someone?
Ted Bundy was on Match Game, by the way.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that.
In the dating game. Dating game.
Oh, what?
Yep.
Well, that's something I'm sure they've tried to remove from the internet, but it's got to be out there somewhere.
Well, it's in a doc. I mean, there's quite a few documentaries about the man.
The best is when we had Aaron Paul on, who, of course, is from Breaking Bad, and now he's in Westworld.
And Jack Horseman, yes.
Yep. The first thing we asked him about was he, like in real life, was on The Price is Right. And if you can find that video, he spazzed out, like lost his mind. Like he looked like he was on something. And I think he actually admitted that he might have actually been, you know, there might have been some help as to why he was so loopy when he was on the show at the time.
That show is forever ruined to me because you lose money. Like you win crap and then they tax you on it and then they charge you for the shipping.
Yeah.
So you're actually lost money. And Dan has a story where they just put some hot tub in someone's lawn.
Like oh, yeah.
In a crate in someone's lawn.
Oh, that was The Price is Right. Yes. He was on vacation.
Price is Right, right?
And by the time he got back from vacation, it was on the sidewalk, and the crate had broken, and it was damaged, so it cost him money to get rid of it.
What does a hot tub cost? Because I was talking to my parents about that. Is the top
Cardi.
End...
Cardi just had one installed in his at his house.
Okay. You know, by the way, hot tub sales through the roof right now because of the quarantine.
Like, yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And so, because we were thinking about getting one before I move out. But I'm guessing the high end is $5,000, and then you got to move it and everything. So if I get a $5,000 hot tub, mm-hmm. I'm paying $2,500 in taxes, and then I have to pay the shipping, which I would imagine $500 for the shipping.
Yeah.
So
no
I'm
question.
Losing money. Like I wouldn't. So instead of buying a $5,000 hot tub, I'm out like all that cash.
Well, that's why at the showcase you should always take the trips.
Yeah, but you still have to pay the taxes on the trips.
But it's like a discount trip. You're basically going on a trip.
Yeah, but who knows where they put you up?
Yeah, that's a good point. They're not going to leave it on your front lawn either.
Yeah, well, that part of it, the shipping, at least you've got that going for you.
Yeah, but they're like, hey, you're going to Tahiti and you're going to stay in some old guy's shack.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.